The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Peter King is going to jump on board here at 10:20. We'll talk with Peter about what happened yesterday with Cliff Kingsbury, the number one overall pick. Would the Cardinals consider moving out of off quarterback Josh Rosen, going after Kyler Murray, as Adam Schefter put out there? And Peter is very close to Larry Fitzgerald. We'll talk with him about his view on will Larry be back or not, and also the playoff games this weekend. Playoffs last weekend were so good, and this weekend I'm going to be doing water polo dad stuff out in San Diego. So I've got to find my way somehow, some way. I'll be in Coronado. I'm just, when you're in club sports, like I've done club sports now, this is coming up on 23 years of club sports. So, you know, when you're at field four at reach 11 and the NFL playoffs are on and you're sitting there with like 10 other parents and most of the parents are saying, what's the score of the game? No, not the soccer game, the football game. Water polo is a little different, I'll tell you, because maybe I'm just enjoying having a fourth one in club sports. I'm into the matches. I'm not screaming crazy at the refs. I'm not saying pass the ball to my kid. I'm not in that space. But club water polo is as good a sport. If you guys think it's not a great sport, go try it. It will kill you. Like, Eric, are you a good swimmer? Do you consider yourself a man that can
define
move
good.
Water? Do you like being in water? Do you know how to move water?
Well, I know how to swim. I don't do it.
Do you enjoy it?
I don't do it recreationally.
You don't go like to the club. No. You go to the gym. You don't swim laps back and forth.
I don't.
I can't but do
I,
that
I,
either.
But I like the water. I mean, in the summer, I'm.
You like basketball?
I haven't played in a long time. I've been in a pool a lot longer over the last few years than I have on a basketball court.
If I said to you some night, come with me and we'll drop in as grown men and play against these 14 and 15 year olds.
In basketball?
Polo.
Yeah, no.
I think I'd last maybe a minute.
That's a different animal. I think endurance-wise, I would be okay.
But you know there's a shot clock.
Yeah.
You're moving water. You say you're okay, but anybody
I don't know.
I like, would die.
My endurance is not terrible.
You've endured me for all these years, so I think it's...
That's true. I'm sure that's a completely different beast when you're trying to tread water and move around.
With people grabbing you and kicking you.
Yeah, and it's not like your feet are on the bottom of the pool either.
No, and some of these people have their toenails sharpened and knives. And I've seen blood. It looks like shark-infested waters in some of these matches. It's pretty interesting. What'd you make out of yesterday?
Short press conference. Kingsbury came across much different than Steve Wilks did a year ago.
Yeah.
Wilks was very demonstrative and very confident and very...
Kingsbury's a cool cat.
Yeah, and not to say that Cliff Kingsbury wasn't confident, but he was just a little bit more subdued. Yeah. And I thought he was pretty transparent. I mean, he didn't hide from the fact that he hasn't been an NFL coach, and he doesn't hide from the fact that he's going to need help around him, and he needs to hire a good staff that has NFL experience. And I don't know, Brad. This is either going to be like the fairy tale Sean McVay 2.0, or this is just going to be a complete disaster for the Cardinals. So
I thought Michael was off his game a little bit yesterday on stage. I mean, I've seen Michael through the years, and I happen to like Michael. Michael and I have sparred. Michael, you know, it's fine. I'm just over
Michael
here.
Bidwell,
yeah,
that you're referencing.
Yeah, Michael Bidwell. I'm just over here doing my thing now, and they're still your Cardinals when they win. They're my Cardinals when they lose. They're my Cardinals when they win, and it's always how it's going to be. You have to have a little bit of fun with this. This is not brain surgery. I think that when he said Ernie Accorsi as the very first words out of his mouth, I was like, oh, okay. Not, hey, when Steve and I got together, and he referred to Steve later on, but...
And they whisked Steve away after the press conference yesterday. Yeah. It got wrapped up, and Bidwell stuck around to do the circle of reporters, and... Kime sort of tiptoed out into one of the back rooms, which I thought was different because usually Kime is one of the faces at these events.
Things have changed since last July. look, this is a big, this is a, when Steve had the DUI, this, everybody can put on a happy face, what they call winning the press conference. And it's fine. They have very smart people that work at the Cardinals. I'm not, I sit here and I parse apart what public relations people are paid very well to do. And that is to make sure that they get their side of the story, their narrative, they control it. I'm merely sitting over here saying, well, we're not going by anybody's narrative. We're going by what we see out in the community, the people that we talk to out in the community. People I talked to out in the community yesterday, I didn't seek them out. Almost unanimously, it was WTF. Unanimously. That what are we doing here with the Cardinals? This reeks of desperation. And on one hand, I get that. I'll get to that in a minute. Our opening comments, as always, brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And when I say protect what matters most, you can do it through life insurance, annuities, financial planning. Last night, I'm sitting in a home of someone. I'm sitting there with Courtney from Sagicor, who's brilliant. She's terrific. And we sat there and we went through what we call a fact find. You sit and you talk to people and say, when do you want to retire? What do you have to work with? What is it that you have that you need to take care of? What does your pension look like and all these things? And we sat there for an hour and a half, this big plate of cookies. I'm just staring at them, maybe 2 hours. And when we left there, they felt really good. We embraced and we went our separate ways. And we're going to put together some ideas and bring it back to them. That's what it's about, guys. It's time to get real. I'm not sitting there saying there's another number. I have my license. Now I'm able to do that. So if you're looking at your situation, consider life insurance and consider Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. The thing that Eric said that I agree with, and what Peter King here momentarily, and then Goody at the Movies later this morning, Bill will be on at 10:50. If you're just joining us, just find us. We tape this show at 10 a.m. Then we put in podcasts. It's always there on the website. We have our TV show over on Fox Sports Arizona as well. When Eric said that this will go really well or could go horrible, yes. If this doesn't work out with Cliff Kingsbury at head coach, in my opinion, it is because he failed miserably on the staff that he is about to hire. But is he hiring the staff? As you heard Cliff say yesterday, more than once, yeah, I'm leaning on Steve. I'm leaning on the people that know the NFL. I know some people. We're going to get a good staff put together. So again, this points towards Steve. When Michael Bidwell mentions Ernie Accorsi is the very first words out of his mouth on the search, I just said, huh, okay. And Adrian Wilson, it's fine. Adrian's ascending in the organization, as he should. He's got his chops. He's a great Cardinal. He's been around. So, you know, I have no problem with that. You know, Adrian's going to become a face of the franchise even more so than he is now. I just felt like Michael yesterday a couple times. I've seen him when he's got his A-plus game. I didn't think yesterday he had his A-plus game. I don't think that this was universally hailed like they thought it was going to be. There's so much national criticism being directed towards the Cardinals on this. And I'm just saying, guys, let's just tap the brakes for a minute. These guys aren't idiots. You may think they're idiots and all that. They're not. They're pretty sharp guys. The track record of the Cardinals has shown that a coach lasts here about 3.1 years. Go look at it. Yesterday was the eighth coach hired in 25 years that I've been here. Do the math. A lot of that, though, from my view, was before Michael. They had a good run with Wiz. They had a good run with Bruce. In between that, somebody asked me who's the best coach that was here. In my humble opinion, for what he was able to do at the time in the transition, and there'll be people who disagree with this, I thought Denny Green did about as good a job as he could do. He's the one that, from a draft standpoint, said, I am going to take Larry Fitzgerald, even though we already have Anquan Boldin, and I'm going to go find Darnell Dockett, and so on and so forth. I speak from a space of, I'm not there every day like a Mike Jarecki, who I have a lot of respect for. Kent has been there from day one and seen this thing come and go, Kent Summers. My point of reference through 25 years and seeing it through radio and television and in digital and just standing off the sidelines, not always waving red and white pom-poms. We don't get paid to do that, nor should we. None of us. Is that things are better with Michael. This was a train wreck with Steve Wilkes. Michael screwed up Steve Wilkes. Steve Keim screwed up Steve Wilkes. Steve Wilkes screwed up Steve Wilkes. They were smart enough to move on from it. I felt yesterday, I'm going to talk to Peter about this in a minute, I felt yesterday Bruce Arians at the same time in Tampa taking all these Cardinal coaches and going to Tampa. That was what people were asking me yesterday. What about Arians? What about Arians? Bruce Arians was done here. Sometimes, guys, you wake up next to somebody. I haven't done this yet. You just wake up next to somebody, and it's this isn't working anymore. And in pro sports, there just comes a point in time to move on and get a breath of fresh air. And Bruce did that. I have no problems with it. I felt yesterday it took away a little bit from what happened out here in Arizona. People, and these are national people whose opinions I respect. What the heck? You know, Bruce leaves and he wasn't supposed to come back. And now he's coming back and he's taking all these coaches with him. Was there a problem with he and Michael? I'm pretty certain there was. I don't know how big a problem, but just over the course of time, people wear out typically, usually from one another. Peter King is next. We'll check in with Peter, Football Morning in America. Not a bigger name, none better in covering the NFL than Peter King. And he's next. Time now to take a deeper dive into Cliff Kingsbury, the number one overall pick, everything around the Arizona Cardinals, and some other NFL news and notes. As always, great to catch up with Peter King. Football Morning in America, none better than Peter King. Cliff Kingsbury hired head coach, Arizona Cardinals. Peter King's initial reaction was?
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was shocked, I think, just like everybody else, that a guy who's under 500 and multiple years in college, you know, his next stop, well, after a blip at USC, is a pro head coach. I think everybody around the league saw Cliff Kingsbury as maybe an offensive coordinator, but obviously the New York Jets and the Arizona Cardinals saw him as something bigger. And I mean, you know, who knows what would have happened if the Cardinals didn't jump first. I truly don't know whether the Jets would have. But I won't disguise my extreme surprise. And now we're just going to have to see if he can repay the faith that Michael Bidwill and Steve Keim have placed in him.
All right, Peter, what do you make out of Arizona? Because Bruce Arians takes the job in Tampa Bay, takes essentially his entire staff that was here with him in Arizona. At the same time that Cliff takes the job here with the Cardinals, there are fans out here that are either confused, pissed, for lack of a better term, or just like, what are we doing here in Arizona? This is not being universally loved and accepted. Part of it is, yeah, we love that Cliff Kingsbury can help with Josh Rosen. I guess from your point of view, how do you make sense of what's going on out here, big picture?
I think that Steve Keim looks at football right now. Michael Bidwill looks at football right now, and they say, we just saw what happened when a quarterback who was in a sort of an iffy offense at best in St. Louis and in L.A. that first year, we saw what happened when a really bright offensive mind and play caller took hold of that team. And, you know, it's no coincidence that five of the six hires have all been basically, in essence, quarterback whisperers, you know, and why everybody is moving so fast and why a guy like Cliff Kingsbury, who, in my opinion, before 2 years ago, never would have had the chance to be an NFL head coach in his first, in his first stop, you know, after college, why this has happened. I think everybody is looking at football, and everybody wants the quarterback guru, the quarterback whisperer, and the guy to wave a magic wand over your offense. And that's what these guys have done. Now, as far as all the other stuff, look, I'm not a big fan of firing a coach after 1 year at all. I don't think that's a good thing. But as far as, you know, Arians being back and Bruce Arians was cooked at the end of whatever it was now, 13 months ago. He was ready to go.
Yeah.
And I never, ever, when a guy, and I don't even know what Bruce said at that time. I don't remember whether he said, yeah, I've coached my last game. I'm assuming that he thought, everybody thought that was it. He wasn't going to coach again. But I do think that I think it's a great thing that Mike McCarthy is sitting out this year, because I think you get a chance to observe the game, observe the sport, see where it's going, and in essence, say to yourself, okay, I really want to do this again, or maybe it's nice to be in a booth with Gumbel and Trent Green and do TV. And I saw him once this year. I was texting with him this week, and I said to him, you know, like Parcells always used to say, you know, it never leaves you. You know, it's there's nothing like being in the arena. And he goes, yeah, you can say that again. And I just think he realized this week, I mean, this season, that he would love in the right circumstances to give it one more shot. And that's exactly what he's doing. And I think it's a fairly innocent thing. I don't think he said, well, I don't want to coach Cardinals anymore. I just think a year ago he didn't want to coach anymore. So, and as far as all the assistants, look, the only guy, the only judgment that this organization and Bruce quite honestly made that now you have to question is, you know, putting Byron Leftwich over Freddie Kitchens, mm-hmm. you know, and obviously, you know, then Freddie Kitchens, you know, being allowed to leave last year and going to Cleveland, and one of the most incredible ascensions I think we've seen in recent coaching hires. It's incredible to me what happened with Freddie Kitchens. But again, I understand why all these things happen. Plus, when a new coach comes in like Kingsbury, and you are coming off the season the Cardinals are coming off of, I honestly think it's best to wipe the slate clean and essentially to have a brand new coaching staff. I think that definitely is the right call.
Peter King with us, Football Morning in America. He's got to catch a flight shortly, so a couple other questions, and we'll let you go. We've not talked in a while. I'm curious what you heard, what you observed with Josh Rosen, development or lack thereof, here in his rookie season.
Well, I mean, I think he had some very good moments, and I think he had some precocious moments, and some moments that essentially showed that he's got great promise. And I do think he's got great promise. But I mean, you know, in my opinion, I think Mayfield was better as a rookie. Clearly, I think Sam Darnold probably was better as a rookie. Lamar Jackson was different as a rookie, but again, I didn't see anything that would say to me that, man, now I have real doubts in what Josh Rosen can do. This move basically is to give Josh Rosen the absolute unequivocal best chance to succeed as an NFL quarterback. You're giving him a guy who everybody would agree in pro and college football is one of the best tutors of the position and one of the best offensive minds without any question. That's what this move is about. So, you know, they're obviously going to be all in on this offense. And I saw what Adam Schefter said today, and I have no idea if it's true or not, that I guess there's a possibility that Kingsbury could be interested in Kyler Murray. I know nothing about that. So we'll just see what happens. We're one day into the Cliff Kingsbury era, and so I think a lot of things have to be established right now first.
You and I visited a lot through the years. I think every year we have this question about the future of Larry Fitzgerald. And so here we are once again. The Kingsbury hire.
I wish I knew.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do you think it impacts Larry at all? I myself don't think it does. I think it's always him looking in the mirror. If he can make it through a wretched season like this without getting his head taken off, one game he almost had his head taken off. I was sitting next to Fitz Sr. against the Rams, and Larry got exposed. Josh threw it up the ladder, and Fitz Sr. put his hands on his head and gasped because he saw what was coming. Larry's not been laid out, and I think he can still play. What does your gut say to you today?
I think a lot of it is going to be whether the Cardinals really want him back for one more year. They'll say they want him back, but do they definitely, absolutely want him back? That's my biggest question. And I don't know. I have not asked him this question. I really thought that this was going to be it for him.
Yeah.
Brad, but I wish I knew, but I just don't.
Number one overall pick, you just alluded to it about Kyler Murray and the report from Adam Schefter. Peter, a team like this has never had the number one overall pick. They do have a quarterback in place today in Josh Rosen. It makes for fascinating, fascinating discussion. I'm thinking you're going to get some frequent flyer miles to Phoenix because of Kingsbury and this number one overall pick. But just sitting here in January, what do you make out of the number one overall pick and what they may do?
I think it got a lot more interesting when Haskins entered the draft, because now you've got the team sitting at 6 and 7. In my opinion, if Haskins is sitting there for either one of their picks, that they would probably jump on him at 6 or 7. So I think so much happens in the 2 months before the draft, in the run-up, starting at the combine, that I just really can't tell you what is going to happen. But I can tell you that when he entered the draft, I believe the value of that pick jumped up. And, you know, if Steve Keim can get an offer that, and especially if he can get two teams competing to move up to make him an offer for that pick, that is what's going to help the Cardinals the most. Because let's just imagine for a second that the Cardinals like or want Kyler Murray. I mean, you know, and you know, clearly they could, you would think anyway, that they could trade out a number one and go down quite a bit and take him. You would think. But, you know, it's so early in the process. All I'm doing is guessing. And my guess is that if they get a huge amount, if they get a huge amount, I think Steve Keim has got to listen to it. Listen to the offer.
I was very fortunate to have Bobby Bethard and Billy Devaney pour into me when I was in my early, early 20s when he was in San Diego. And the idea of trading down has always stuck with me since then when you have a pick that high. Bobby missed, of course, but do you believe in the theory of if you have the number one, is it 50-50? Is it you've got to take number one? Is it trade back when you're in a position like this and go get multiple picks?
I think it all depends on what is on the draft board at the time. If there is a franchise pass rusher, if there's a Deion Sanders corner, or if you need a quarterback and there's a quarterback, you stay where you are and you take the pick and you don't even think about it. But with the early prognosis that those kind of players are not in this draft and you already have a quarterback, theoretically, okay, I would absolutely entertain offers and trade it, even if I didn't get what the Jimmy Johnson draft trade value chart says you should get for it. Just because there's no sense in taking, if you have options, there's no sense in taking a player at number one who really maybe isn't the value that you can get in taking, and I'm just going to make up a number. Let's say you get 6 and 36 and next year's one or something. I don't know. You know, I would always take quantity high in a draft over quality, unless the quality is a Hall of Fame type player, or unless you need a quarterback and there is one there for you to take.
Michael Bidwell mentioned Ernie Accorsi as his opening line. He spoke with Ernie Accorsi about this hire before he even mentioned Steve Keim. Am I to make anything out of that?
I didn't know that until you just said it, so I can't tell you. All I know is that Ernie has been an advisor to multiple teams over the years, and he's also been a guy who has said this. He said this to me 100 times, that if you have a chance to get the quarterback or the coach of the quarterback, you got to go do it. And so I wouldn't be surprised if that contributed to the decision that they made.
Game do you like most this weekend? I don't want to take your time and go through all four of them. Which one do you like the most?
I'm fascinated with I think all four of them are awesome. I love all. I really do. There isn't a game where I roll my eyes and said, "Ah, this is going to stink." I think they're all really interesting. But the game that fascinates me more than any of them is Indy at Kansas City, because Kansas City looks like it has a generational talent in his first year at quarterback, and obviously has nothing to do with him. But the Chiefs haven't won a home playoff game since the Ice Age. So, you know, I mean, you know, he steps into this breach where his coach and his franchise are really, really under the gun to win a playoff game. So that's one part of it. I think the other part is, I mean, how exciting is Indianapolis, really?
Yeah.
How incredibly exciting is Indianapolis? 10-1 with a coach who was, you know, who wasn't even on the Indianapolis Colts interview list a year ago at this time. They never talked to Frank Reich. And now to think how lucky they are to have gotten Frank Reich, the right coach at the right time, it's so interesting. This game is ridiculously interesting. I'll give you a quick plug, Brad. I did a Patrick Mahomes feature that's going to be on the pregame show tomorrow.
Okay.
Are you guys West Coast time? Are you guys Pacific time right now?
We're an hour. We're an hour ahead of Pacific. We're at 9:10 as we're taking this.
Yeah. Okay. So it'll be on at about 2:10 p.m. In Phoenix. But it's really a fun little piece that we did, and you really get to see Patrick Mahomes, the human being. So if anybody might have their televisions on Saturday afternoon, hope you can stop by and take a look.
Safe travels, Peter. Appreciate the time and insight, as always.
Hey, thanks a lot, Brett. Great talking to you.
You as well. Football Morning in America, Peter King weighing in on the hire of Cliff Kingsbury. There's a lot there, and we'll talk about it after this timeout. It's good to catch up with Peter King. There's so many different directions to go off that interview. If you missed any part of it, you can check it out. It'll be up on the website at sports360az.com, also in podcast form. David Henry is our chairman of the board today. He takes care of all of that. A few other stories before we get to Goody at the movies. Last night I watched ASU basketball. I have been in this sports crazed mode because when there's coaching searches, and the Sean Aguano story yesterday with Arizona State football was enormous, you got to take a break. You just have to take a break at times. And I didn't watch any of the Suns game last night. I saw they lost again. The Suns, though, Eric, they don't have the worst record in the NBA anymore. The Cavs only have 9 wins. So we're making progress here. We're 10.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Right. Screw up. You got to get Zion Williamson here.
The odds don't look good for the Suns getting the number one pick again, but there's still time.
They can pull it off. Right?
They have been playing better. Not that that really matters.
You sound so enthusiastic. Devin Booker was out again grabbing his back. You know that through the years in sports, when a guy is out because of back spasms, it usually means something else. That's code for something else has happened, or a groin injury or whatever. He's had some times this season where he hasn't been around on the court.
The Suns are not publicly tanking, but they're privately starting to tank.
Well, it's smart, right?
Yeah, they have been winning, so I guess that's...
Do you see DeAndre? Really did you watch it all last night?
I did not.
Yeah, DeAndre had 6 and 5 last night. Doncic had 30.
Not good.
Not good.
But I do think DeAndre, I think Ayton's had a good season.
Yeah,
I think people are riding him pretty hard. Yeah, I mean, Doncic has so far been the better player, but
absolutely.
it's not like DeAndre Ayton is averaging 6 points and 5 rebounds. Well, he has like 30 some odd double doubles this season.
But DeAndre Ayton doesn't touch the ball. That's the thing. Yeah, Doncic looks great because he's bringing the ball up. Right, you have to have a point guard that can put the ball
inside.
That's
a good point. It's well said.
You know, so it's easy. Oh, look at the numbers Ayton had. I don't know. If you're a point guard, you have the ball a lot more. So, yeah, Jamal Crawford didn't play last night either, to your tanking theory. So that might be something there. The ASU and U of A games last night. I watched the ASU game on Pac-12 Network. I was the one. And Remy had 24 off the bench again. He didn't start. And so, you know, we're here in early January, And Bobby's messing around a little bit with what to do with Remy Martin. Remy was shooting the ball and making just some horrible decisions, I thought, in December. Now, it's easy to say that after you lose to Kansas, but he just was. And, you know, if he's a sixth man and he comes in and it's not who starts, it's who finishes. I've had that line forever and a day, and I truly believe that. He had 5 threes last night. They just look more comfortable. And, yeah, Cal stinks. I get it. This isn't U of A. U of A, on the other hand, I watched that last night. They beat Stanford 18 times in a row. 18, not just at Maples, but just in general. 18 times in a row they beat the same team. And that's a young squad. I wasn't overly impressed with how they looked last night. I mean, Brandon Williams passes the eyeball test. I get it. They're a fine team. I wouldn't say anything great. But both of them win. Tonight, GCU plays at New Mexico State. This is a big game tonight. This is an enormous game for Dan Marley. They're going to play New Mexico State again in all likelihood in Vegas in March at the WAC tournament. But when you're able to beat the best team in the conference, and Eric, you saw them last week. They looked pretty good. I saw a little bit on TV. This is a big game tonight for Dan, and see if his team can get turned around.
I'm not expecting a win.
Wow, you're so negative.
Well, Las Cruces is just a hard place to play, and New Mexico State is the best team in the WAC. And
not GCU?
If you look at GCU's track record, I mean, you talk about U of A's dominance over Stanford.
Yeah.
On the road, GCU has not been competitive in the last 5 or 6 years at New Mexico State, and I know that just bugs Dan Marley to no end, because at some point you're going to have to take that next step.
Is Dan being bothered too much?
What do you mean?
Is Dan starting to look at this like, I can't break through? He looks like physically he's hurting a little bit because of the wear and tear of being an NBA player. This is going to be sixth year. And he's in a conference that you're only going to get one bid. That's just the way it works.
And the conference as a whole is far better than it was 2 years ago.
Is it better than Pac-12? What do you think?
No.
No? You saw Utah Valley.
But, I mean, for me to even have to take 5 seconds to think about that.
Yeah, you did.
You talk about one-bid leagues.
Yeah.
The Pac-12 might be a one-bid league, too.
I'm going to watch Gonzaga tonight. They play Pepperdine. No, Sinks. I'm sorry. Santa Clara plays Pepperdine tonight. I'm going to watch Gonzaga. I don't know who they play, but I know they're on ESPN2 at 7 o'clock. I saw that this morning. I want to dive in a little bit more on the college basketball thing now that we have this coach search behind us. The last story, and I mentioned this to you this morning off the air. If you and I are out at a high school game and we see an official get into it with a coach, and we find out that the official asked the coach prior to a freshman game if his players had their green cards with them. This was a game at Walden Grove last night. It's down near the border at Pueblo High School. The ref said, do your players have their green cards with them? So the AIA fired the coach already. That's done.
The referee got fired?
Referee got fired.
Got it. Said the coach.
Sorry. My bad. So the ref got fired. And how could that happen? It's like the wrestler that I saw a few weeks ago in New York who had to cut his dreads because the ref said in wrestling that the dreads were too long. And so in front of everybody, they just take out the scissors, like cut tape, and cut his dreads. Like, what is going on with people?
It's hard to
lose their minds.
It's tough to comment, Brad, because
we weren't there.
I know. And things can be taken out of context. I mean, was it inappropriate? Absolutely.
Yeah, but what would cause somebody to say that?
I don't know.
I mean, I really don't know. I was with someone the other day who made some comments, and this person was older, and I was just like so uncomfortable with it. And this person was a lot older. And I'm thinking, how did that come to be with people? That's not okay to denigrate somebody in that form, and especially high school kids. Hey, coach, they bring their green card. Ho, ho, ho. I mean, even if he was serious, were you hearing yourself? Goody at the Movies is next. Stay with us. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, and we're working towards the weekend, it's time for Goody at the Movies. See any movies this week?
No, but I'm about to.
What are you going to see?
Some small foreign film.
Yeah?
That, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure the name of it.
Great. Are you sitting in a movie theater by yourself with a PR person? Just you and a PR? Is this one of those?
No, this is sitting at home looking at it on my computer.
Ah, yeah. The screeners. You lucky.
But I can promise you, I will promise you that is part of the information that I will impart when I review it, is the name of the movie.
That would be helpful. What is going on?
I feel like it would help.
What is going on with you in AZ Central? In the, they're dressing you up. Do you have a makeup artist now? I mean, I see you. I see you, and you're fast becoming more popular than John Hook or Mark Curtis or, you know, Steve Irwin. Any of the evening news anchors. It's now Bill. Are they doing a makeover on you?
No, in fact, they've never. Well, that's not true. I mean, they have in the past. When we first started doing video at the paper, I guess I showed up one time on a video, and the editor of the paper, who is now the chief editor of USA Today, I guess she sent word to my boss that the next time he's on video, he really needs to iron his shirt.
Why am I not surprised to hear this, Bill? That's funny.
Well, I know Keith Olbermann a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's always been so nice and so friendly to me that I always assumed he thought I was somebody else that he knew better. But we email each other a lot and stuff. And one time he had me on his show, and he had, I guess it was his MSNBC show, because I went down to the old Channel 12 and I did my bit, you know, and when I talked about whatever we talked about, you've done it before.
Yep.
And I was walking, and I took off the microphone and I was walking to the door. And my cell phone rang. I mean, like, the second I got off the second the camera turned off, and I said hello. And it was one of my brothers. He didn't say hello. He didn't say how to go. All he said was, "How fat are you?" and he didn't say, That's and he funny. Added, he added a very descriptive adjective as well.
A bleeping fat. Wow.
Are you? And that was the entire conversation.
First time I'm at Channel 3, right? I leave KTAR. Well, I was asked to leave KTAR, but whatever. I'm at Channel 3. They're all excited. They put me on the air. I'm sitting there with Patty Kirkpatrick, Royal, all of them. They're making a big deal. Brad's here, da-da-da-da-da. I'm wearing a red turtleneck. I get off the set. I walk over there, and the news director, Phil Alvidrez, the assistant news director, Dennis O'Neill, two great people. They both look at me, put their hand on my shoulder and say, "That was great. If you ever wear that red sweater again, you're fired on the spot." And you look like a cherry, you know.
Well, I used to do a weekly TV gig, and the cameraman, I had my own camera. I mean, he was just a guy assigned to me. He was not my personal cameraman.
Yeah.
But I had him every week, you know, to try to have some continuity and stuff, and he would produce the segment. And the thing that he would do before every segment was check my nose. And the first time I was like, "What?" And he said, "You would be surprised how many people go on camera with stuff in their nose. And I'm not going to let it happen to you."
Awesome. That is awesome.
I thought that was great.
All right. We're going to get some deep stuff here about Cliff Kingsbury. Okay.
Yeah.
He's in a relationship.
And from a fan in the universe, evidently.
Yeah, he's in a relationship with Holly Saunders, a sideline reporter for Fox. So,
I know.
So all the girls that were swooning over him, and they were, he's off the market. It's tragic. And then do you remember Wendy Sanchez? Remember Lauren Sanchez? She was at Channel 3?
She's
with Jeff Bezos. I mean, come on. This pops up this morning. Like,
wow.
Wendy from 3TV is now hooked up with Jeff Bezos. So that's kind of a big deal. I feel so.
That's a huge deal.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Go right about it.
Maybe I will. The thing I wondered about with Kingsbury Okay, first, well, doesn't that present, and I assume that both sides will take care of this, a pretty big conflict of interest?
Yeah, you think?
I assume that they won't be covering him, although it wouldn't. I would not be surprised if they did something where it was like, oh, let's do a cutesy little, you know, thing on this. I hope they don't. I hope that they...
Yeah, girlfriend with boyfriend. Yeah, just that can't happen. So what I want to know on this one is, when did she do a Texas Tech game? And so how recent did this happen? So people are buzzing about this today. I'm just going to get to football. What do you make out of this move, Bill?
Can I just offer one sort of, I guess you would call it a hot take?
Oh, give me a hot take. Hot take. Here it comes. Bill's hot take. Yeah.
I don't think the guy's that good looking.
Wow. I
mean, he's handsome enough, but he's not like, you know, and I sort of get the, oh, he kind of halfway sort of looks like Ryan Gosling or whatever. But he's all right. But
half
he's
of
not,
Ryan Gosling's you know? Pretty good, Bill.
Yeah, I reckon. But there's that movie with Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone and Steve Carell. I forget what it was called, but he takes his shirt off with Emma Stone and she just laughs and says, are you like photoshopped or something?
I love how this Devin Henry, our chairman of the board, has got a freeze frame right now up on the screen of Cliff. Can you move in on that shot at all? You can't. No, that's it. No, it's pretty tight on him. Ryan Gosling, I don't know. We could do a split screen of it, but like when our market is talking about this rather than can this guy win football games? Yeah, we're having kind of sort of fun with this. Should
we
aim higher than that?
We'll find out soon enough if he can win football games.
Right.
He can't win one now, and he can't lose. This has got to be the best time of all for a coach. I mean, although they didn't exactly let him win the press conference, as they say, but he right now everything's hypothetical. So good for him. I mean, I think I don't know. I think it's obviously it's weird that he. He is, you know, he was fired for a losing record from college, and now his next job is, you know, to take over a professional team. But I'm sure that in the many industries in which you've worked, you have known plenty of people who have failed upward.
I have.
I know that we've had a lot of editors who messed a lot of things up and then got better jobs. I mean, I know that. Maybe that's part of it. But, I get that but I think, you know, football is a lot like television. What was the Fred Allen line that imitation is the sincerest form of television? And I think that's how football is. And it's whoever is going to, you know, whatever the hot thing is, that's what people want. They want more of it. Oh, get me one. I want one of those, you know.
All right. Oh, wait, I have a Ryan Gosling photo now. So there's Kingsbury. Go back to Gosling. I don't know, because he doesn't have scruff in the picture yesterday. I mean, it's close, I guess. Like I said, half of Ryan Gosling is fine. It's fine.
It's the sleepy eyes,
and they're going to be really sleepy if he doesn't win here. So,
but he's like, am I wrong? Does he not have a bit of a receding hairline?
What's wrong with
not
that?
There's anything wrong with that.
You don't. And you never will. All right, I got
to
go off that.
Now,
I'm being given the hook. I'm going to let you go off that.
All right.
I'll talk next week. See ya. That's more fun than movies, actually. That was good. Good stuff, Devin. Eric Sorensen is, as always, a senior executive vice president of nothing or everything, depending on the day. Devin Henry is today's chairman of the board. And this show repeats over and over and over. If you missed Peter King earlier, it was really good. It's like, I don't know, 15 minutes. We did our thing with Peter. We're going to go turn some content now over on the website. The website is sports360az.com. We are self-funded. That means the commercials that you see are advertisers that believe in what we do. And we appreciate their support, and we encourage you to support them. Have yourself a great day.